Hey podcasters, Claire Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, he's getting out of our dreams and into our podcast. Billy Ocean called us for a chat before his Perth show in a couple of months.
What a legend, a Grammy winner right there. Find out which massive store name we've been pronouncing wrong for years.
Tajay.
Oh, that's it.
La Sauvage.
Kmart.
And we hear what you're always arguing with the kids about, especially on school holidays.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
Love your location, but not your home? Keep your block and build your dream home with Ventura Homes.
And we're here with our buddies from Ventura Homes.
Yeah, thanks to Ventura for jumping on board the show. And if you love your location, but not your home, you can talk to them about demolishing and build your dream home instead.
Well, that'd be nice. Quality designs, lifetime structural warranty, free interior design consultation. That'd be good. I'd need that. I'd need someone who told me what to do.
That cushion's horrible, Matt. Get rid of it.
Exactly.
I think you'd like all the frills, but as standard too, without having to put in, you know, extra work.
Absolutely. So why not talk to Ventura Homes?
Yeah, ventura-homes.com.au.
BRN 10805.
The Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber.
He was the most popular British R&B singer and songwriter in the early to mid-80s. Mm. He won a Grammy at one stage for this one. And at one stage had a role in the 80s where he got three consecutive number ones in the US, which is a huge achievement. International superstar heading to Perth very, very soon. Grammy winner. His name is Billy Ocean.
Looking forward to come down there. When am I down there?
You're going to be June, here in June, yes.
Sometime in June, yeah.
Middle of June.
And okay, good. Thanks for telling me.
Yeah, we'll speak to your people, buddy. Don't worry.
Busy schedule for you.
Billy, you are doing the All the Hits tour. Are you sure you're going to have time for that? I mean, Caribbean Queen, Get Out of My Dreams, Love Really Hurts Without You. Oh. We could be in for a long night.
Lovable. Yeah, why not? Why not? The more the merrier. We're going to be in for a fun night, that's for sure.
Billy, I lived in Brixton for quite a few years near a wonderful pub called the Ephra Hall Tavern, and I'd sit in my bedroom and listen to the calypso sounds coming from that great bar, and I can only imagine what London was like when you got there in the 60s and mixing that calypso sound with what was happening in the rock scene. It must have been a wonderful time.
No, back in the days, it wasn't happening. It's like we created all that.
Yeah.
Lots of nice things happening in Brixton. That was not like it was before.
Ah.
Our special guest is the very special Billy Ocean, who's here on Monday, June 17 at Crown Theatre. And Billy, after all the awards and the hits and everything that's happened, what is the big day that stands out for you? Was it the day that Paul McCartney presented that Liverpool Institute for Performing Arts Award? I mean, that would have been a wonderful day, wouldn't
it? Yeah, one of my biggest days for me will always be the one that Caribbean Queen being a hit in America, being a hit around the world, which made me from being a European artist or English artist, it turned me into a worldwide artist. That is something really special.
Billy, you said that you're looking forward to 6 party nights in Australia. Is that what drives you to keep touring, the chance to just keep partying?
No, I'm not really a partyist anyway. I don't know who told you that. I think you're putting words in my mouth. Listen, I've done so many partying in my young years that now it doesn't really matter to me if I never see another party. My party goes on stage. That's my party.
You can't tell me you won't be partying in that special landmark birthday in January of next year, mate. You're gonna have a party that day.
What day is that? I don't know what day that is.
Oh,
you mean
January 21.
You don't tell me the big 7. The last one I had was when my kids put a thing together when I was 60.
Beautiful.
And I can just about remember that. So, you know, I'm just praying that I make that 70 and beyond, and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah. You've been on stage for a long time yet. Lots of gigs to come. And then, of course, we'll see you here in June. So in the middle of the Perth winter.
That's your winter in June. I come and warm you up. That's what I do. I'll put some heat in Australia.
Hey, Billy, all the best, mate. It's a pleasure talking to you. Get off our radio station and into your car and head to that next gig.
Thank you. Listen, take care. I look forward to seeing you all when I get down there.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber.
Great weather for the school holidays.
Oh, not perfect. Wrong.
Isn't it magnificent? Yeah. And, you know, I was with my stepdaughter, Steppy D, yesterday because my partner T had to work. So I stepped up.
Oh,
good
well
on
done.
You.
Stepped
and,
up with Stevie D.
You know, obviously, it's all a massive learning curve for me. We get on extremely well. We have, you know, we have our moments. Mm. And I've realised that a lot of parenting or a lot of guardianship-ing is saying no. which must become frustrating for the child.
Yeah.
But often it's just because, you know, no, don't step out onto the road. No, you know, it's usually, there's usually a practical reason for it. It's not just that I'm trying to be negative.
Yeah. It's normally a protective thing.
Yes. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that arguments wouldn't ensue from that.
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, when you say to a child, you need to eat your greens, it's not because you're just cruel. It's because you know that there's nutrients in there need, right?
Yeah, true.
But I'm sure there's lots
of
arguments.
Kids, it's because they're cruel. They're really, really cruel.
Yeah.
But there are... Mean. That is actually one of the top five things that children and parents argue over is, you know, eating the food on the plate, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yep. They reckon that there are, they've done a survey on this, not a survey, a study.
Yeah.
Six arguments every day between parents and children.
It's astounding, isn't it?
Mm. I think you make that 16 in school holidays.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm so bored.
This was a British survey, and wouldn't you think, do British people argue with their kids less than us? I always feel like British people have better manners than Australians.
Oh,
for some reason,
know.
I feel like... Like they're saying in this study, this Capri Sun, the British survey, they said that an average of 2,184 arguments per year between parents and their young kids aged between between 2 and 12.
Right, okay. And that breaks down,
six arguments a day.
Okay.
And they do change, they do change over time, don't they?
Of course.
Because, you know, they can be, eat your greens, you know, will you eat those peas or beans or whatever they are when they're little? And then it evolves into teenage years about screen time.
Yes.
And you might be arguing when you want to have a chat with them in the car and they hop in, when I pick up the kids every weekend, all of a sudden they both had the earbuds in.
Yes.
And you're going, you need to at least have a bit of a chat with dad.
Now, Lizzie, of course. How long do you reckon arguments lasted with your kids on average?
Pretty short because they're sweethearts.
Oh, see, they think that the average fight lasts 8 minutes.
Oh, really?
A long
so if you're
time.
Doing that six times a day.
Yeah. Oh, no, the first time I got I hate you, that wounded me for about 8 months.
Well, these are the top five argument starters, according to this study. Number one, children not eating everything on their plate. We've covered that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number two, messy bedrooms.
True.
God, I'm still doing that. I mean, as in my bedroom.
Matthew.
Our bedroom. Number three, children not wanting to eat healthy food.
Sure.
Of course. Number four, children complaining when they're full after barely touching the food. And number five, siblings fighting with each other.
There you go.
Look, you need to give us a call. 1-333-53. What are you always arguing with your kids over?
So many arguments.
Like for my parents, I think it was my mum always making me put my shoes away. She was always like, put your things away. We never put anything away. We always left it out in the house.
Yes. So you had a bit of a rebel stage too, didn't you?
Oh, always.
Yeah.
But just never put anything away for my poor mum. I feel terrible now as an adult.
How did you rebel? By just putting one shoe away?
No, I didn't put it away until she just screamed. Screamed at me 15 times, and then the 15th time she'd put it away for me.
Oh, really? Oh.
Don't do that. It's bad. No, don't set your kids up like that.
That's helicopter parenting, isn't it? Tickets to Billy Ocean's All the Hits Tour. We caught up with him a few moments ago. The Legend at Crown Theatre on Monday, June 17.
Well, then it's worth opening your dirty laundry on air and telling us what do you argue with your children over.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Mum, I'm bored. It's provoking a lot of arguments in our suburbs right now in school halls.
Well, according to a new study, parents and their young kids between the age of 2 and 12, they get into an average of 2,184 arguments per year. That is 6 arguments a day.
That's a lot.
Every argument on average lasts 8 minutes. And to end arguments, 9 in 10 parents say they offer the child a reward for doing what they're told.
Oh, really?
I'm already doing that.
9 in 10.
Totally.
We want to know what you are arguing with your kids about over and over.
I want to argue about that. There's a life lesson.
Yeah.
Lorraine in Hilbert. Lorraine, what are you arguing with your kids over?
Well, I've got both age brackets. I've got 25, 19, and I've got 2-year-old twin.
Uh-huh. Oh, what a blend. Go, Lorraine.
My 19-year-old, my arguments regularly are about parenting because she thinks she can parent me. So I have to remind her who's the parent. And let her know that I was living on this earth before her.
Yes.
Yep. And the twins argue daily about bedtime. They don't want to go to bed when I send them. So, and that's the two of them gang up on me every night.
Oh, like
you
a tag
forget
team.
About that you've got the two of them, so then definitely you're already outnumbered.
They got the same interest.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The Hilbert gang.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, it's a tag team.
The thing is, too, they're only two right now. They haven't got the cognitive function, but when they can really work together as a team,
You're in trouble, Lorraine.
Tricky, oh, yeah. No, they've got that. Oh, no. Really smart. They gang up on me. They're very smart.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. Onto my bed.
Hey, Lorraine, you have a good day there in your multi-generational household.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's a lot of generations.
What
it's
a champion.
Big gap.
Brilliant. Let's go to Atwell. Charlotte, good morning. What are you arguing with your kids about?
Hi. Oh. Well, I've got a 2.5-year-old and a 1-year-old, and yeah. Hubby is FIFO. So I'm on my own, dealing with a tantrum,
yes.
And all, you know, arguing because her potatoes are too close to her meat, or I didn't serve it on that pink plate. Now that my son's walking, he thinks it's great to be able to finally beat up his big sister because, oh. You know, she used to pick on him when yes. he was a newborn. So it's constantly breaking up fights and, potty training. Oh, my gosh, don't even go there.
Oh, Charlotte.
Charlotte, they reckon that there's about 6 arguments a day lasting about 8 minutes. How much of your time is spent arguing in a day?
Yesterday it was probably about 50 a day.
Yeah.
Some days I'm like screaming. I have to shut my door because I'm like, my neighbor's going to think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Shut the window.
Oh, no.
Trying to escape to the toilet.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's crazy because she gets it. She'll be in knickers all day. But then when it comes to that number 2, she comes up to you and goes, Mum, can I have a nappy? Let's do it on the toilet. Give you chocolate, I'll give you anything, just do it on the toilet. Nah, she'll do it in the nappy.
Oh,
and yet when I'm changing her brother,
yeah.
She goes, oh, lucky, that's disgusting, baby Dupoo in nappy.
Take the nappies away and she'll run out of choices.
Yeah. just let her run free range, Charlotte.
Parent.
Free range.
I tried that and she would hold the sucker in whole day.
Oh, no.
just leave all the dirty leave all the dirty work for Dad when he gets home from FIFO.
Yeah, exactly.
Every single nappy.
Good luck, Charlotte.
From work and he's just like, oh, what have you been doing?
Yeah. Good luck, Charlotte.
Good luck to you, Charlotte. A lot going on in that household.
Lynette's in Ballajura. Lynette, what are you always arguing with your kids over?
Okay, I've got a 16-year-old son. I'm going to name and shame him.
Yeah, do it.
Firstly, when he gets home, it's just like everything off at the front door, shoes, boots, whatever, footy boots, boxing. But the worst thing is when you get to the washing machine, and we're very busy sports people, he tends to hog up the dryer. What he does is gets his washing, like HJ shirt, puts it in the dryer. And then when I come to the dryer, it's like a sea of rain of clothes coming out. It's not even shut the door. He just doesn't complete anything. Like, his room's a bomb.
Yes, yes.
It's just crazy. Like, his little antics are like, he might be in the pool one day and he's gone through probably 20 towels.
Yep.
And also, with saving his socks, he gets his socks out of the pool and he throws it on the back wall so he can find them stuck on the back wall of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just constantly
stuck to the bricks.
It sounds perfectly normal to me.
He sounds like a 16-year-old boy.
Yeah. He's only 16. You've got years of this to go.
Oh, he's so funny. Like, you go into his school bag and it's just like dead bananas.
Yeah.
You go in his bedroom, there's some dead bananas. They're like,
Oh, there's a lot more than that there, Lynn. I can tell you.
Don't investigate. Oh,
yeah, no.
Thanks, Lynette.
No problem.
How many bananas have to die for Lynette's son to grow up?
We go for probably 2 kilos a week, and I reckon there's at least a kilo in there somewhere.
It's wasted.
I found one in my car. That was bad.
Oh, I should mix it up, make banana bread. Thanks. Hey, Lynette, you want to go and see Billy Ocean, all the hits tour, and get away from your 16-year-old?
Oh, yes, I would love to.
Crown Theatre, Monday, June 17. You're in.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Pleasure, Lynette.
Excellent. Thank you.
There's Lynette of Ballajura getting a bit of a break from the boy.
And good luck to all those arguing parents today. You're doing a good job. You're all in it together.
Totally.
You're not alone.
Totally.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie. The juice.
Oh, do tell. Let's hear it. Give me the details.
If you know your Game of Thrones or your footy, this job is for you.
What you got? I know those things.
Online local services marketplace, Bark.com, has launched a pop culture coaching service. So what they're doing is they're looking for people who really know their pop culture.
Right.
to help prepare other people for small talks, for events, for socialising or for dating.
But you already do that for me.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So I could have been getting paid for this.
You could have been, yeah.
Basically, they're saying there's a lot of people out there who don't really have the pop culture knowledge. They don't know what they're doing. And so now they're hiring people coming saying, look, I can't watch 17 episodes of Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
sure.
Tell me what's going on.
Okay.
And then it gives them a bit of water cooler talk or gives them something to discuss when they're on dates or at events.
Actually, you had a few classics that you used to say people's names wrong and that when you came back home to Perth 3 years ago.
Thanks for pointing that
out. Now you're a genius.
I am.
Yeah.
And you can imagine having those things written, like, you know, Targaryen on the back of your hand so you can bring up a bit of G-O-T.
They say people are negotiating their own fees, but you could be getting about $70 an hour for this.
What? Oh, okay.
And they said they hope that the new service will help ease the anxieties associated with having to socialise and always finding something new to talk about.
Yes.
Okay.
And so you basically just, if you know a pop culture subject, they're just saying, sign up. But check it out at bark.com if you want to know more. It's pretty interesting.
That
I wouldn't mind that gig.
Your special subject is Coachella.
Yeah. Now, the forthcoming episode of Riverdale is going to be an emotional one. If you're not following Riverdale, it's not because of a particular storyline. It's because it's the last one that Luke Perry filmed before his death.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. I was your age when my father passed away. I never got to say goodbye.
This isn't goodbye, Dan.
You're damn right it's not.
That's kind of weirdly.
It is.
Always had that breathy voice too.
There's a really lovely relationship in this show between father and son, and it's airing today, this episode. And they've said, the producer said, as always, Fred's imparting words of wisdom to Archie will be a beautiful, true moment between father and son.
Right, okay.
And they're saying that all future episodes of the show are going to be dedicated to Luke Perry because he was an incredibly passionate, well-loved person, and they're all lamenting his passing. Oh. So that'll be airing today for Riverdale fans.
Okay.
And guys, a few months ago, I mentioned Ed Sheeran's wildlife pond.
That's right.
He got council permission to put a wildlife pond in to attract native animals on his huge block. He's got this huge property.
It's almost got a little town, hasn't he?
Yeah, he does. And but the neighbours weren't.
Nice.
The neighbours weren't happy because they think it's a party pool.
Right.
He got the wildlife pond put in, but it's got a jetty and it's kind of.
So it will be attracting wild animals, just the celebrity type.
Well,
just Robbie Williams.
The neighbours will not let it go. Sheeran has now had to remove the convenience spa that he put by the wildlife.
Oh,
really?
We know that flocks of birds that are migrating love a spa.
Yeah, that's got to go.
Ducks are plenty.
And now he's been ordered to remove a huge sign. He put a pub sign up there on the side of his house dedicated to his new wife, which he named the Lancaster Lock after his wife, Cherry Lancaster Seaborn. And they said, you've got to take down the unauthorised signage.
Okay, because it's quite a heritage area, right?
I suppose.
And they're quite strict on that sort of thing.
Yeah, right, so you can't do that. So Ed Sheeran's party house is becoming a little more bland by the day.
No, I don't mean that. I don't mean that.
That would have been controversial.
It's a joke.
And that's Matt Dictinsky at Mix 94.5.
No, I think we can all agree that Galway Girl is a masterpiece.
You just want to hear it again, don't you?
Yeah.
That's your daily juice.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
We live in a cyber world. You can't escape it everywhere you go. It's all about passwords and different connections. And, and every single time you've got to get a new password for everything.
God.
Right? And it's very hard to keep up with because they say don't use the same passwords over and over again.
Don't write it down and put it in your purse or your wallet.
Yeah, don't use predictable ones, that sort of thing. And sometimes if you don't log into these things, and you know, it might be once a year you go to that account, suddenly it's gone.
Yep.
You have no idea what you're doing.
Sure.
And UK's National Cyber Security Centre have revealed another sort of article saying, guys, you've got to keep updating your passwords because people aren't getting the message. It turns out that using the numbers 123456
is easy to crack.
Easy to predict.
Do you know how many people have been doing this? It is the most cracked password ever.
Really?
With 23.2 million people worldwide having experienced a breach while using it.
And, you know, it's interesting because we you and I, Kimber, particularly get sort of antsy and you know, conspiracy theory about giving our data to the government and people hacking it, which is true.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe we could help by having some decent passwords too.
Isn't it funny? I remember my combination lock when I had, you know, the combination lock I put so no one would steal my bike from the Warwick shops when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I remember the lock was 1234. And I went, who made this? When was this made? Really?
Well, they're also saying there's some real giveaways.
Yeah.
people who use football teams like Liverpool, Chelsea, Manchester United, they have all been compromised hundreds of thousands of times.
It's funny because if you use Dockers, no one's cracked it. Hackers so can't believe that anyone would use that.
No one has ever gotten in any of my accounts.
You know, and if you're going for something cute, they say avoid like Pokemon or Tigger, things like that, because that doesn't work either.
Right.
And also, the pop stars like 50 Cent and Eminem.
Bitty.
People who used Eminem as their password fell victim to cybercrime 350,000 times.
No. Right. Well, they say you should never use things like birth dates and the like, because it's easy for people to find out your information like that, really.
Yes.
And so if you start using those or your street numbers and things, then they're the ones that are easier to predict.
Yeah, popular culture probably isn't a great place to go mining for your passwords.
Yeah, I think, probably you know, right. Yeah, or the things that are front of
mind. Bachelor in Paradise.
I tried to change my password to 14 days, but it wouldn't let me. It said it was 2 week.
Oh,
hey, it's not 8:55. Yeah.
Oh my god! Gee, that
but he did that off the top of his head. There was no prep.
Right. Well done.
It was in my brain somewhere.
Well done.
If you do need to get your password together, the specialists recommend that you combine three random but memorable words to you.
Okay.
So they don't have to be pop stars, or whatever, but three random memorable words, and that should be a good password.
Kimber makes tea.
No one would get it.
Well, we did.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Guys, if you're having trouble sleeping, there is a new podcast that you can check out.
Oh, good.
From the people who really know about sleep, IKEA.
IKEA sleep podcast.
Yeah, IKEA have put together a podcast designed to help people sleep.
Oh, okay.
But the biggest revelation to come from this is that by putting the podcast together, we've all learned that we're actually saying IKEA wrong.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't surprise us given that it's a Swedish company and we probably don't have the accent quite right.
No, sure.
But we're not meant to be saying IKEA at all.
What are we meant to be saying? What is
it? We're meant to be saying IKEA.
Oh.
IKEA.
IKEA.
Yeah. IKEA.
You know what? That does make sense.
Yeah.
Because IKEA, you know, it brings together the name of the IKEA founder, Ingvar Kamprad, IK.
Oh, yeah.
And that's also the name of his family farm, Elmtard, in the village of Ungernjard.
Oh, God.
In Sweden. So that does make sense.
You know,
sounds like a
so
nice
much.
Place.
Well, I'm reading the highlighted bit from the piece of paper that I'm looking at.
Reading the bits you gave him.
So, yeah, IKEA, that makes sense.
It does. Should we listen to the ad? Here it is.
Goedemorgen, meneer.
Aandacht maakt alles mooier. IKEA.
IKEA. Actually, you mentioned the sleep podcast. I mean, I've caught up in plenty of sleep sitting on that Cedric Street off ramp. You know, waiting for the traffic to go into IKEA on a Saturday morning.
That's what they want. That's where they want you to play the podcast, on the freeway.
Oh, I can just hear the call going out every Sunday morning. Now, come on, kids, we're going to IKEA.
I think you're right. There's other things being mispronounced, though. The Swedish meatballs is actually Swedish meatballs.
Ah, yeah.
And the Billy bookcase is a Billy. You know, we were saying them wrong all along.
Oh, no, and they sound much better the real way, don't they?
I don't even know how I said it the first time.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Let's play.
Yeah.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Yeah.
She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Now, my friends, there's nothing that I find, well, I won't, I'll start that again. One of the things I find one of the things I find quite sad is when families fall out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we've seen that even, you know, some high profile families even in this state who go through the courts, and whether you agree or disagree or, you know, like them or don't like them from afar, there's a part of me that always goes, oh,
it's horrible, isn't
families,
it?
You know.
It's a shame.
Shouldn't be happening.
You keep hearing about those that just don't talk.
Yeah,
it's awful.
Yeah. So October 2016.
Sure.
There's a bloke in Indiana, Chris is his name, we'll call him Chris, who divorces and goes and lives with his parents, moves back in with his parents.
Yeah.
And he's not paying any rent, but he's doing chores in lieu of rent.
Yep.
About 12 months later, he moves out and his parents deliver his goods to his new abode, but it's missing some possessions.
Right.
Oh.
Right? 12 boxes are missing, 12 moving boxes.
Mum and Dad have nicked his stuff.
They have, and guess what it was?
What?
Pornography.
Oh, no.
12 boxes?
12 moving boxes. Right.
Well, Mum's not watching it, is she?
We're talking 400 VHS tapes.
Wow, that's a collection.
1,600 DVDs, 160 CDs, 70 toys.
Okay.
And thank God, some lube. Yeah. And so he's gone, well, what the hell's going on, Mum and Dad?
What, he doesn't have the internet, this bloke?
That's the most a question that I'd be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
So, Mum, Dad,
where are
my things?
They've destroyed it. And Dad has said, we did it for your own mental and emotional health.
Oh, dear.
I would have done this even if it was cocaine or drugs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, there'd been some history of this bloke, Chris, getting kicked out of high school and college for selling adult material.
Yeah.
There you go.
So the parents have stepped in and said, it's time.
Yeah, but Chris has gone to the authorities and is taking civil action against his parents, claiming $86,000 in damages.
He's going to the courts.
Because the films are now out of print and the studios that made them have been liquidated. Oh, you don't want to use that word around that subject.
No, liquidated. No. No, that's not good.
Wow.
So that's going to be an ugly Christmas.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Goodness, it's not good, me. Is it? That he also sounds like a valuable collection.
He broke Mum's second drawer as well.
I think so. But doesn't it sound like a new film script?
It does. Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Sorting the winners from the Wooden Spooners. AFL footy tipping on The Big Breakfast. Brought to you by Channel 7, The West Australian, The Sunday Times, Mazda and Mix 94.5. With thanks to our official partner, Tab Touch. Go to thegame.com.au.
Yeah, with round 6 of the AFL kicking off tonight, pre-Anzac Day game, and we've just been talking about what's coming up, but it seems like there's footy almost every night at the moment.
Yeah, never too much footy. Footy.
Was that Kimber, boys?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to talk about the footy. Not doing so well in the tipping these days.
Not this year, but someone who is doing very well, coming equal second at the moment, is Dean Claresy Clares.
Okay.
Dean, I got 8 on the weekend
in 9.
The most unpredictable rounds of football ever.
With 8 out of 9 last week, I've gone from right down low in the pack to be equal second with Bridget Lacey and Dennis Cometti. These people know their footy very well.
Laces out.
We are second only to the legendary John Townsend, who's on 25. We're on 24, but I have a confession to make.
Mm. Oh.
It was my wife, Laurie Clares, who got the 8 out of 9.
Laurie!
So I feel sorry for Dennis Cometti, who wrote a blog about me getting 8 out of 9, because he was watching my tips on the weekend, which is quite weird.
Yes.
And we were 8 out of 8, and then obviously Geelong beat the Hawks on the weekend. But it was Laurie's tips.
Is that a bit unnerving that, like, Dennis was so surprised by you getting 8 that he wrote a blog about it?
He wrote a blog about it. Well, it's his attention to detail. But follows tips.
It's good, though. You know, I mean, this is what we hope with our political leaders, too, that they discuss things with their partners and family so that you get a broad cross-section of ideas.
That's true. That's one way of looking at it. The other is that I'll mess it up because I've taken back the reins this week.
Yeah, okay.
I'll undo all the work.
With your wife, Laurie, tipping for you and my mate, Jack, tipping for me.
Yeah.
Who's tipping for you, Maddie?
Yeah, Matt.
Well, okay. All right. It's just all cards on the table.
Okay.
Stop it. It's just like confession.
No, I have been doing it myself.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, this week, I forgot because of the early round.
Oh, I thought you say Florence the dog was doing it.
She'd be doing just as well, I'm sure. I forgot to get my tips in.
Oh, did you?
Okay. So the wonderful Russell Reed
he's a legend.
At the West has done my tips for me. And I have to say, he's pretty much done what I would have done.
Actually, he's given you his tips.
Yes.
You're a good man, Russ, looking after us.
Lovely. He's a sweetheart.
And it was bad of me not to get him in.
Well, we've all gone.
So
well,
if he stuffs it up, there'll be words.
Yeah.
I've gone for West Coast. Both of you have backed Geelong.
Yes, Geelong which at I home. Would have done.
Yeah. Okay. Eagles have been a bit wobbly the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know. But aren't they going up and then down, then up and down? I feel like this is their up week.
Okay. Well, you need to have some different ones to try and catch up.
Yeah, I know. I'm not looking so good right now. But we all went the Dockers as well.
Dockers against the Bulldogs here at home. David Mundy's 300th game.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. I mean, I know I've been giving you for ages, 3 years now, ribbing you about the Dockers, but they, you know, like early days, they look good.
They look okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So that's what we're looking at?
Yeah, we're looking. Well, I'm looking forward to Laurie's tips.
No.
Not only does she bake, she also does football tipping.
Oh, no, that's embarrassing.
She's got everything.
Eight out of nine.
Renaissance woman.
The game brought to you by Channel 7. I'll mess it up. You watch Channel 7, the West Australian, the Sunday Times, Perth Now, Mazda, Thirsty Camel, and Bix 94.5. With thanks to the official partner, Tab Touch.
Register now at thegame.com.au.
Have your dream home built by Perth's most awarded home builder. Talk to Ventura Homes today. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.